Hi, I'm John.
Hi, I'm Olivia.
Hi, I'm also Olivia.
Okay, cease and desist. Cease and desist in the first one back in
I
700 years.
I'm Patrick.
And I'm Penny.
And we are back to talk about Subspace Rhapsody and to argue about whether it's going to make us quit Star Trek.
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
We'll see you again in 6 months.
My head is already in my hands.
No, I was here as a defender, Patrick. Let's start from positivity.
I'm just gonna Oh, he's
Jesus
cracking it.
Christ. What
It's too early for that. It's the middle of my
is
work
that? Is
day.
that rum?
It is M&S home brand rich dark rum. It is the cooking
Okay,
rum.
so let's just do a really important update. John has facial hair now, and I think he's become a
Yes.
pirate because
I
he's
have
got a
facial
full bowl
hair.
of rum. He's got
I
a
should
beard and
say
a
that,
moustache.
you
I
see, Olivia,
think.
you know that I had facial hair because I started growing it when I was at Creations Entertainment's 57 year, 56 year mission at Star
How
Trek
dare
Las
you?
Vegas, along with my dear friend Patrick and many of our listeners, which I will take a silent now to quietly be sincere and say absolutely thank you to everyone who came and said hello to me, said hello to us, asked me where Olivia was, asked me if Olivia was in the room, asked me why Olivia wasn't here, told me how amazing Olivia was and how I was just there. And
Was
asked
in
me
the
is
room
Olivia
Olivia
on
in the room with
steroids.
us right now?
Why is she under the desk? Anyway, just thank you to everyone who came and said hello. Shout outs to Rob Reyes, a couple of other people whose names I've forgotten because I've had a drink. Special shout out, of course, to Jordan, who came up to me and went, "I've listened to your podcast since the second episode," and my immediate reply was, "Christ."
That was lovely. Thank you, Jordan.
Thank
So
you,
his first
Jordan.
experience was Terry. Was that the
Yes.
Subrover episode? Christ
Oh,
alive.
Terry. Yeah, and still here, you know, a year on from the Passion of the Tell.
Oh no.
Yeah,
Oh,
we didn't mean to take a break.
it's taken us 2 minutes to mention Terry. There we go.
But yeah,
Have
it
I
was so
told
bad.
you about the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise
No.
recently?
Oh guys, I quit. I quit.
We
I'm
are
ending the call.
back.
I'm ending the
We're
call. This
back.
was good. This
So
was good.
back, baby.
But you know, we didn't intend to take a 6 month break, did we, Olivia?
It was John's fault. No, I'm kidding.
But people wanted us to come back, and we have, and we're really pleased to, because we have much to talk about.
This,
Picard season three happened. We'll
yeah,
get to that. We will
as
get
long
to.
as Star Trek is alive, you're not getting rid of us because it's going to piss me off at some point, right? It's
Yeah.
going to be my breaking point.
Even the
I'm going to have to
writers
come back in
strike
here.
will not stop us. Because those very short tracks came out. They're gonna come out at some
Oh,
point.
Jesus Christ,
We've got
short
Lower
tracks,
Decks to talk
guys.
about. We barely even touched most of Enterprise.
Well, Lower Decks is good though. Like it
Yeah.
makes I feel like it's I quit Star Trek in Star Trek form. It's like
Counterpoint,
they
they
listen to the
inflated
That's
Rutherford
because it's
once.
my energy. It's me, Penny. I
All
am Lower
right.
Decks.
All
And
right.
John, you making that face at Lower Decks being good is an insult to me personally.
See, Churro Olivia is not happy with you.
You see,
Anyway, whoopsie.
I would be on the
Chur
back foot.
Olivia.
I would be on the
Whoopsie.
back foot now, but Olivia has yet to watch Strange New Worlds season one or two.
Huh?
In fact, the only episode of Strange New Worlds season two you have watched is the one we watched for this.
No, I've watched multiple. I've watched at least two.
Did you not? Did
As
you?
was
You
the
did you watch the
20 episode.
crossover episode?
Yeah,
The
exactly.
crossover
I watched the
episode was.
crossover episode and something else. I'm going on my
I
Paramount Plus
watched
app
it.
right
I
now.
you
watched
still
the
haven't watched the.
crossover episode 10 times, and as a result, John Van Sitters sent me some pins.
John, if you're
Sent me some
listening, thank you for
pins.
supporting the podcast.
I will, yeah, that's one of my favorite episodes of recent Trek, the
Oh
crossover. It
no,
was so good.
I really like the crossover, and which was great because I really didn't like the rest of that season. And if you want to know why, go watch Jesse Gender's video on Strange New Worlds because
It's
I'm in it.
definitely a sort of difficult second season, I'd say.
I was just gonna say, everyone, liked to compare that one episode to MASH. They felt like it was gonna be MASH in space,
And
and
you
then
know
it was
what? It was a
terrible.
bad.
It
It
was
was like Massive
horrid.
Space written by J Dick Cheney.
For real, it was just bad, bad. I loathed that episode. It is perhaps in my bottom 10% of any episodes I've watched of Trek ever.
So we know what you're coming back to talk about.
Well,
Right?
I'm reserving that as my episode of doom. That's my episode. That's my death episode. I'm going to just break that episode down and cry afterwards because it's just bad. But I don't know, season two. I think Penny, you were right. Difficult second season. You know, it's like they let Ringo Starr run the writers' room. But and I think, you know, there was this highlight that we were going to get this musical episode, and
highlight.
Now we're doing as an I Quit Star Trek, which tells me how that went.
I just say I'm actually kind of upset because I came into this guns blazing, think I'm going to defend the hell out of this episode, and then I rewatched it, and it wasn't. Let's just say it wasn't painless. It wasn't painless.
Yes.
Okay, so Patrick,
I'm bringing you over to the side of righteousness, Olivia.
I just don't know why you hate fun.
No, it wasn't cunty enough.
I'm sorry. I thought that a Klingon was doing K-pop.
I didn't recognize what that.
And I don't
was it
know.
K-pop or Bollywood? That bit was okay.
It's not that I hate fun, Patrick. Is that I hate autotune?
Okay.
Well, I mean, lower your expectations when it comes to celebrities.
Sorry, John. Drop a fucking freestyle right now, then. If you hate autotune.
Yeah, I can. If you want me to sing, I will literally just end up singing like. You're going to get sea shanties and you're not going to enjoy it.
I'm hearing a lot of talking and no singing.
What about a British tar? Is it so? No. No.
What was that?
No, not that.
If I sing, you will never be able to EQ this episode. The distortion will be off the
Penny
scale.
Penny and I can sing Jerusalem.
Penny will destroy my computer while I edit. We should is say, that good?
We should point out that Penny is a professional.
Penny yes.
is a professional.
So,
which is
everyone...
why...
Here we go. Everyone's sort of going, oh, why do you hate fun? I don't hate fun. I love singing. I have made singing my life. However, my entire job revolves around me listening to people sing and then doing something about it or not, you know, offering life. So I'm basically like, this is not fun for me. I don't make me do my job when I'm not at my job.
You hate all music outside of your employment, is what you're saying.
No.
And now it makes sense why you hate Shostakovich, because you can't be in that place of love for him where I and everyone else in the world are at.
Look, I want to love Shostakovich. He just goes on. I'm like, wrap it up, Dimitri.
Yeah, he goes off. Not on.
Penny, you're one of those the YouTube videos where it's like vocal coaches react to, and it's them reacting to like Broadway singers. And I watch that and I'm like, well, why aren't you on Broadway?
I
not you. That's not me about you. I don't think you are a literal professional.
So... Yeah, exactly. It's just, I mean, and my husband said when we watched this episode, he was just like, I should have just filmed your reactions throughout the episode because we would have had so many sluts meme templates. My face the whole way through was just like.
I watched it with Suzanne, shout out to Suzanne, who I stayed with in Seattle. You're the absolute best. But I watched it with Suzanne at like 11:30 p.m. on the first night. And I think we had to stop about five times because I just had my head in my hands.
Okay, the first time I watched it, I was overcome with the joy, okay? I was in a place of acceptance.
And how's that going for you now?
80% was fine. Was okay.
Yeah, so that's
bit, I'd say swap that and go 20% is fine.
The issue is, why did we save the only good song to last?
I don't think the last song was the best song.
Second to last. I'm talking about Celia's number.
I feel like
Celia's number is, yeah.
I feel like that's Christina Chong's slander. Because
Go ahead, Ashley.
It's very obvious from the breakout, you know, because the breakout of the episode, the two sort of biggest numbers went to the two people who could actually sing. You know, when I was watching it, when I was listening to it, I'm like, these two... They've got the vocal talent, and there's the least production
on
their
vocals.
Didn't
that bitch Spock have like four songs?
I feel like I was seeing so much of them.
I mean,
that was way too much.
That was one of the things that was so disappointing for me. I mean, I don't, you know, I hope everyone understands that these things are said out of professional experience and love, and not trying to diss anyone, because I firmly believe everyone can sing. You know, anyone can sing, right? At your own, you know, true tone deafness, people go, oh, I can't hold a note. True tone deafness like that is so rare. It's actually a you know, like a medical condition. You know, amusica is
you can't
so
sing, you
rare,
have a medical condition.
It's so rare that, you know, I'm coming at this from a position of everyone can sing. Just because they can doesn't mean they should do it on television.
I don't run on television. I'm like James May.
You know, Ethan Peck, because like hearing his speaking voice, I'm like, there's a really lovely deep bass voice in there. It just hasn't truly been given the love and care it needs to come out and play.
Who were the two? I mean, obviously Celia is, you know, she's a literal professional also. Yeah. She was on Broadway and her mom is, you know, also a Tony Award winner. Who is the other one that you thought could hold a note?
Christina Chong.
Okay.
Christina Chong is also a professional singer.
Yeah, Rebecca Romaine Samuels found dead from the disrespect. Okay.
Well, and that was someone else that surprised me because I'd, you know, heard good things in, you know, the short treks, and I knew that, you know, she could sing. Again, I don't know what happened because I didn't feel like we heard the best of her. We didn't hear the best of her.
Penny, just both, actually, as first Ethan Peck point, but also back to relates to Equity. Do you think they didn't like, whoever was directing it didn't like their ranges? Because what struck me when you meant to say about Ethan Peck's baritone is that it seemed like they weren't willing to let him sing in his range, so they had to auto-tune it up.
Not necessarily. I just think it was probably one of those things. You can kind of sense that he's probably a little bit nervous about it and hasn't had enough coaching to kind of combat some. I mean, who would? If you're not really a singer, it's a very nerve-wracking thing. You know, I was teaching a beginner's class today, first class, and I could, you know, we had to do 10 minutes of breathing exercises, you know, to get people relaxing and think. I was like, everyone's lying on the floor and I'm getting them to, you know, put their hands on their stomachs. But like, I do all kind of weird and wonderful things in class. So, you know, and I'm, you know, doing all of these exercises just to kind of help people connect with their breathing, because most of us don't. I know that sounds like a weird
gotta,
thing.
Gotta
to
breathe
say,
from your diaphragm, y'all.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, my singing teacher talks about me singing from my fun factory, so we take it even lower.
Your fun factory. Okay. Wait, Penny, are you saying that I can join a beginner's singing class and be taught by you?
You can. Yes.
Noted. Anyway, continue.
that will be going up
here
with
we
a
$10 go.
Option on the Icon Patreon. Not Penny doing the singing courses. We just put a hide a mic on Olivia. And you get to listen to Penny try and coach her.
No, I'm down. Just know there'll be no warning. I'll just be there one day.
In the wolf.
This is probably why, because I don't have that perspective. I'm not a professional. And also, I loved the Buffy Murphy, like, do you not love that?
So first of all, let me say that I blame this entire situation on Joss fucking Whedon.
It's literally because of Buffy.
You know, there aren't enough reasons to despise that man. I hate Once More with Feeling. Again, there are two. You have Amber Benson and Anthony Head, who can actually sing. And it's very obvious. And they get paired up together, which seems unusual. But then you realize they did it because they could do a good song together. But again, it's for me, and I know people will go, you know, well, that's a very, you know, narrow perspective. But like I said, this is what I do for a living. So I'm much more sort of aware of that when I, you know, whenever I hear people singing, I can't switch it off. So I'm watching this and I'm hearing stuff and just sort of going.
But John, you're saying that there's so much auto-tune, you can't get through it. But Penny, you're able to analyze this.
Well, I don't think the I don't think the auto-tune for a start was what turned me off. I think it was, in terms of the music, it wasn't very interesting.
Well, the
musical, the lyrics weren't great, and they just it felt like they'd written the lyrics separately to the music and then tried to fit them together. as opposed to trying to write a melody that could carry words properly. Like, it felt like a lot of the times they'd written a lyric and gone, oh, this doesn't work, and they went, oh, we'll just
sorry,
make it work.
You didn't think that XY calculus line was a fucking bar from Spock.
I thought, once again, it sounded like they'd let a sixth former, or to use the Yankee parlance, a senior, write the school play.
You know, I can't remember any of the songs, really. I can remember a little bit from the songs by Christina Chong and Celia Rose Gooding. Those are the ones that kind of stuck out for me as, you know, the big sort of anthem numbers. But, you know, whereas I've gone to see, you know, Bollywood films and I'm singing the songs a week, 2 weeks later, and, you know, they're in my head. And because, I mean, so much of Joss Whedon, you know, starting this off in TV, but, you know, people sort of going, oh, why don't we have more of this? I'm like, go and watch a Bollywood movie. It's in literally every single one. You can get your bops and your songs, and it's a whole industry, including playback singers, right? So, you know, I'm like, in there, it's such a huge industry, and the playback singers themselves are famous, right? They don't expect their actors to sing. They expect them to dance, and they expect them to act, but they don't expect them to sing. And, you know, we didn't used to in Hollywood either. You know, I was thinking about Marnie Nixon before we came to record this episode. And I'm like, why have we developed this new way of thinking that we have to hear the actor's voice? If we could hear a more developed one somewhere else, because also, again, as a musician, that's my job that you're coming for.
Oh shit!
Y'all are gonna turn me against this episode. You're gonna get me. You're gonna get me to go to the other side. So I'll say this.
Patrick, remain strong. I'm coming around. I'm coming around as well.
I will say this: there was one song I did not like, and it is "I'm the X." I thought that was, I'm sorry, Olivia.
That was actually terrible. It was
because the thing was, it was trying so hard to be clever that it was like, it did feel like a kid wrote it. Like,
that's
subtlety
was
there was no subtlety.
That's
like,
why
no.
It was amazing.
You know, related to both how "I'm the X" just had no purpose, and Penny's point about letting musicians sing, and letting musicians work, and letting them do the work, and the actors do their work. It occurs to me that the musical episode exists because you have Celia and Christina Chong who can sing, and they want to take advantage of that. And there is a way with how Star Trek works for them to have done an episode where you had Christina Chong and Celia sing, and you bring in a bunch of guest star musical performers to sing with them as bit characters.
Yeah.
And you just change it, because you've already used a bullshit anomaly to get everyone singing.
What
just
do you mean?
Bullshit
that was science.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it.
A scientific zipper in space.
That was legit science. What did they say? The field was dipped in kerosene? I believe them.
Like, Mbenga basically had one thing and noped himself out of that episode, which I respect. I respect the actor for basically going, I refuse to participate in this.
Because there's a scene where the camera cuts to him and he just poses and they go to the next person. No lines from him.
I have more.
He's very handsome.
He is very handsome. I think we can all agree on that.
Than Addison Mount, who was quite clearly not enjoying himself and yet insisted in being in 30% of the thing. He was quite clearly not enjoying this process.
Get a dubbed singer in to do it. You know, it happens in so many other parts of the world, and it used to happen in Hollywood.
I appreciated seeing Anson get humiliated in his little domestic fight on the bridge. And I think we would have lost the magic of that embarrassment if we had fucking, I don't know, Beyonce over his voice, over his vocals.
I mean, that is fair. That moment really kind of sticks out for me, especially Ortega loving every second of it. Like,
I would have quit.
Fully messy.
I wouldn't be in Starfleet anymore.
Yeah, the best part, I think that was one of the best parts, because it lent the force wall off just with Christina Chong walking across the bridge to turn it off.
Yeah.
That was my highlight of the episode. It was just like, I'm not going to fucking deal with this.
But I think perhaps what you're saying, it's playing on the fact that the actor has perhaps some discomfort about being made to sing. So it's factoring the awkwardness into what they've written, so it makes it work, you know. Whereas other people, it feels like they probably weren't really as comfortable with the singing as you'd want them to be. You know, you only have, again, I don't know how long they brought in vocal coaches for, if at all. I mean, I'm assuming they must have done. Like, I wouldn't.
They did say that this was the most rehearsed. Now, I assume part of that is the dancing.
Yeah.
Also, they said,
but it was the most rehearsed episode.
This was also an episode which they decided on really, really late in the day. Like, they had to come back and do this on weekends, and really. It feels like there's an absolute rush job element to this. Of like, we're going to do a musical. Okay, we're going to do it like this. Which means we're not going to get the vocal rehearsals. We're not going to get the time to workshop the songs. You know what actually upset me?
What?
You know, Jess Bush has that song with really terrible lyrics.
That was a really bad song.
That was so terrible. So God, it's awful.
Jess Bush can sing. And they gave her terrible lyrics and mediocre choreography out of her... Correct me if I'm wrong, Penny, but it feels like that song was also out of her range, really, as well.
Yeah, I mean, they auto-tuned the shit out of that. That gets my vote for the most auto-tuned moment in the episode. And they didn't do enough of it to make it sound deliberate. You know, they weren't doing, like, the Cher vocoder, you know, process where obviously, that's not how a real human voice sounds. It wasn't one thing or another, and I think that perhaps ties back into what you were saying about it being under rehearsed, because again, if you have more rehearsal time, you get your vocal coaches in, musicians are getting work.
But also,
my only fear is that if this episode was even an ounce more sincere than it was, I would never watch Strange New Worlds again. I was telling John before the record, I don't know how they wanted me to feel, because I give Star Trek the benefit of doubt so often, from just assuming they knew I was going to laugh in their face.
It wasn't camp enough.
No, I'd agree. Yeah. Make it one or the other.
That's a long-standing problem with Strange New Worlds generally, is it wants you to get the feel-good feeling of the original series without understanding how camp the original series is. The obvious point being, you know, the Christina Chong song is good, right? The filmography of it is terrible.
Yes.
And what they should have just done is take the piss and have the walls come away to a stage.
Just the full Paramount lot.
Go full, yeah, absolutely. Go full.
Just lean on that. Just lean on the musical thing. Just have it not make sense.
Because also, actually, the more camp people sing, generally the better they sound as well. It's one of the things I tell people, or I'm giving away all my trade secrets here.
Anyway, how much are you charging in an hour, Penny? £60. Yeah, come on, guys, cough up. Also, I would have really lent into it just being a 60s style music, Rod and Hammerstein, full 60s, big band swing music, instead of just trying to genre. Yeah. I think the genre jumping didn't help either.
The John remix, of course you put him in the 60s. No, there was a moment where I don't think it genre jumped enough, actually. There was a moment where we almost had an R&B song, and then it just dropped the beat to some mellow.
Which song was this?
It was a Lan song. It was Lan and Number One. It started off like an R&B beat, like, yeah, let's go. And then it's just turned into another generic musical piece. It was boring.
I do agree. I do wish it either did genre, like every single song was a different, like a completely different genre. Like we got a full country song out of it, and we got a full R&B, and or it just stuck with one thing. Mm-hmm. That is one issue I have. Another, and I'm kind of changing tracks, but another issue, and this is with the whole season, but this episode too, the only time that Ortega sings is to say she flies the ship.
And it's like,
we are 20 episodes in, and the only thing we have learned about her is that she flies the ship, and apparently she's a war hero. Unclear if it was the Klingon War or if it's a future war. We don't know that yet. War. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's like, the point that has been made is that Melissa Navier obviously took time off to deal with the passing of her partner.
But this first season too, though. And that was before her partner passed.
Yeah, it's not actually why, I think. Yeah. I think they just don't know what to do with her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I would like to see more of Ortega's Let's all put that out there. We'd love more Tegas, please.
More Tegas.
Yes.
Hashtag more Tegas. We love you, Melissa Navia.
That's the hashtag. I agree. I love her. I think that character has so much potential. Mm. And they have really decided, like, they've really said, how do we make a caricature of someone by just saying the only thing that they do is they fly a ship. I fly.
It's like you tried to explain Tom Paris to a six-year-old.
It does feel like a little cutoff of Kirk's character even as well. Just a that flies ships.
We've had all this talk and we haven't done the actual episode track that you were promising, John.
We're just
devolved into chaos.
Which is fine. It's, you know, I'm going through the song list now and there's two more songs on here that I thought there were.
Can you just sing one line from each
song? No, you could do. You could just while you're recording this, you could just like play them over the system and just capture my face as they start. And I just...
I mean, you need to do a cappella or get copyright strike. So you actually have to sing.
Yeah.
Is it?
I'm not going anywhere near Paramount's lawyers.
Yeah, that's fair.
What were Penny? Now this is something they actually hired professionals for. What were your thoughts on the opening credits?
Yeah. They were cool. I did think that was cool. Actually,
hold on.
But they did they called it a cappella. Mm-hmm. It wasn't completely a cappella, but it was certainly...
I mean, considering that normally I would say no singing in Star Trek themes, because I also deeply, deeply lack faith of the heart, I was kind of turned around on that. See, Patrick and I are just clearly sworn enemies.
Yes, because I love Faith of the Heart. Oh,
Faith of the Heart is trash. Anyway, here's the issue. Did I skip... I skip the opening Dismissed theme of Patrick. Everything I watch. Bomb drop.
You're a bad person.
So what did I miss?
It was a kind of a cappella-ish version of the theme. With like someone actually cool. singing the
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. Now, I'm not gonna do it, y'all.
Let's just keep higher. Okay, well I missed that.
It was cool. But yes, that was they hired real, you know, actual performers for that. I do think it would have been cool. Like, I get your idea. Like, how much better would it have been had it been like Celia and then like, you know, people that she was on Broadway. Like, can we just like, you know, and I get that they film in Toronto and it's not New York, but like people fly.
Yeah.
And Toronto also has great musicians, great musical theater going on in Toronto.
Toronto will have its very own scene. So you won't struggle to find professional musicians looking for work.
Yeah, it's
they don't
just
have
not
the budget, guys. They don't have the cash for this.
You see, and again, that's one of the things where I come back to: pay musicians, hire musicians, pay musicians. Everyone. You know, pay everyone. You know, especially right now when we're talking about the writer's strike and the actor's strike, and about how much we want to value what they do. I'm gonna tack on a value what musicians do, because a lot of people, they love music, but they don't want to pay for it.
And it makes life very difficult. I want to get the joy, but for free though. Cause like I want the joy. Like, Penny, are you saying that I don't deserve joy? Is that what you're saying? Because like, why should I have to give anything back for what I'm getting?
Because people don't make it's not a hobby.
I want track.
Olivia, that's very Tory of you to think that we should all do it for the love of it.
I need to make clear I'm being facetious before I'm cancelled. I support the strike. I'm sorry.
Do you support the strikers or do you support the...
Oh, no, I just feel like, it's crazy that they want this cash from, like, my buddies at Paramount. Like, my guy, Bob Iger, is a fucking G. And leave him alone.
Yeah, he's gone. He's left the room. You're free.
That is another interesting thing, because it'll be like we'll have a big break between Strange New Worlds seasons 2 and 3, and Strange New Worlds ended on a cliffhanger for the first time in decades of Star Trek.
Welcome bitches. Now you kids like, can find out what it's like.
But like before, when we got cliffhangers in Star Trek, it was 3 months. Now we're gonna be waiting. I mean, it could be a year and several months before we see it.
Vindication for Gen Z, because you're 3 months, that's nothing. We're waiting years, Penny, and I'll be telling my grandchildren about that. Trudging along.
Also, I kind of feel like from the UK perspective, It wasn't 3 months for us because Star Trek broadcasting in the UK
it was
in
a
the
year and a half,
90s
wasn't it?
was a mess.
Yes,
it was an absolute mess. You know, and
yeah,
it
but
went
that's
from
your fault
BBC
for being
to
British.
Sky and
So,
da, you know,
moving on.
you know, so you know, this is I'm prepared for this.
That is fair. Yes. Well, and even you know, you even had to deal with that for a lot of modern Trek.
We waited a year for Lower Decks, more than a year. I swear to God, it was more than a year. I don't know if I'm exaggerating, but it was at least 6 months. And people were saying, "Ah, watch Lower Decks." I can't. I'm abiding by the law.
I'm sure.
Well, I mean, again, we start talking about why does Paramount hate all its viewers outside of North America and do everything in its power to encourage people to pirate content because they make it so hard to access or there's such a delay when there really isn't any good reason in this modern world to make people in one part of the world wait months beyond another part of the world to watch something. That's just stupid.
No. I won't have criticism for the people that gave me Skin a Cat. I won't have it. Okay.
Give you what?
Oh God.
Skin a Cat. The short track.
The first of the short track.
Oh, Skin Cat.
I won't have anything against
the very
things.
Short tracks. Here's the thing. It's like they could like this that second one, that premise is a good premise. I like that premise of Spock does not get that humor. Isn't just like escalating like
but Spock isn't that
like,
dumb. He's
not
that
like,
dumb.
The funny one for Spock would be like, you see, he's been using a red pen for 6 months and now he used a green one.
See, that's the thing. It's like it could have been really funny. It was the concept was there, and then they were like, let's make the death of hundreds of people try to be funny. And it's
and
like
even,
that's never
even,
funny.
Even a Vulcan is gonna know that that's not funny.
Yeah,
I mean, he, you know, it's just not right. I mean, the bit that I did laugh at was when he was talking about being emotionally devastated. Ha ha.
About
you know, that about
she,
being, you know,
she
being
does,
broken
the one
up
thing
with
where it's
many
like,
times.
She does this to me all the time.
Yeah, that was basically that was him in his ex song. So that was,
you know,
that was on.
So that
nerves.
that bit actually kind of raised a smile out of me. But the rest of it, I was like, I just felt bad for all the actors involved in that,
and they,
that they had to read it.
Listen, it paid the bills.
It pays the bills.
These guys got rent to pay, given that. And that's...
Did anyone in this episode sing like their rent was due? Okay, yes.
Celia Rose Gooding.
Celia Rose Gooding. Yeah,
every day, though. I don't think... I mean, she probably can't sing badly, though. Again, her mom also... I'm a big Once on This Island fan, and of course her mom originated... a role, the lead role to Moon on Once on This Island. So, go LaShawns. Thank you for giving us Celia Rose Gooding.
What? I just don't understand. They just didn't have it be just like a set, make it another episode.
Yeah, why didn't I see her fucking bang the tune out on the, what's her little instrument in the original series?
Oh yeah, like the
box lyre.
Well, ukulele.
Lyre, yeah.
Also,
the ukulele.
Second point, why was Jim Kirk there?
Why, he was always there. He was always put, just hanging
don't you
out.
Don't have a ship to be on?
Solely to upset La'an.
Yeah.
Like,
that was
so that she had something to sing about.
But also that, like, Kirk is there. It's like La'an's entire plot this season has been, I'm in love with Jim Kirk. There was a cat, for the record, for the listeners, a cat appeared on Patrick's screen.
Not a
none
cat,
of us,
B
none
cat.
Of us made
Wait,
a noise.
This
that
is Liza. This is Liza.
That was Eliza.
Oh,
the baddest bitch.
Anyway, he was there. Like, Lance's entire plot for season two of Strange New Worlds was I'm in love with Jim Kirk. That's a terrible plot.
Okay, right? And is that not valid?
For Spock. Not as your only character trait.
I will say the better Kirk that has been Sam Kirk.
Yes.
Yes,
Sam Kirk also can get it. The mustache. Oh my God.
Dan Janot is really good,
Patrick,
in that role.
Imagine his mustache is gone. Now would you still stand by your statement?
You don't need to.
I don't
imagine.
Need to.
Just
I don't need
the bold
to.
Type.
Oh, well, now I'm going to Google it. Now I'm getting on my phone.
He's in the bold type, so you can. And he
See,
has
but the mustache is hot.
It, so
I've
I think
about...
that definitely adds something.
Wow. I don't like this.
Does he just look like any man ever?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, see, all of these pictures, though, are him either with a mustache or with a nice, like, facial hair all over. And he is.
Yeah, but he looks better with the mustache.
Very handsome.
Patrick, please, it's not even 8 o'clock where you are.
He's hot. Y'all, he's hot. Like, what am I supposed to say? The guy that plays Kirk is fine. I mean, he looks like an average white guy, so whatever.
That is, but... What was he the vampire in? That's
The Vampire Diaries.
I forgot his name.
I never saw that.
I tried to watch it and it was unwatchable.
Well, obviously, because it wasn't Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Well, it was no Twilight, so yeah.
Don't tell that to Susie, because she used to watch Vampire Diaries religiously. So how dare you?
We will bring Susie on for a rebuttal.
Olivia, have you not seen Buffy?
Okay, don't you start to, okay? Because I've already got this one who won't watch Twilight with me. And now I have to watch Buffy.
You'll watch all of it apart from the musical episode.
How long is an episode? Half an hour?
42 minutes.
Yeah.
We're going to watch one Buffy episode per Twilight film.
That's not a fair division of time.
It is, because the joy that you'll get from the Twilight film,
two episodes
everything.
Of Buffy for one Twilight film. In fact, probably three, because they're probably like 2 hours long, aren't they?
You see, I just simply don't tell Olivia what I have or haven't watched. It saves me time.
You know what? One day we're all going to show up to the pub and I'm going to have a screen up.
See, I'm just playing whatever. See, Olivia, I will just simply leave.
No, you won't. I'm going to wait until you're like couple of drinks in and everyone's going to be chill and comfortable.
So you're basically saying you're going to hold us hostage.
Yeah, what's a little hostage?
What's the concern? there's this bar in Hollywood called Bordner's, where they play like, it like has a sports bar set up, but instead of sports on the screen, it's usually like old 1980s cult movies.
Oh yeah, I could go for that.
Like Teen Wolf just playing up on the screen, and like that's what you want.
They've probably aged like vinegar though, haven't they? Like
Teen Wolf, if here's the thing, it's one of those things, like it wasn't trying to be camp, but it is so camp that if you just say like this is camp, you're okay with it. But it wasn't trying to be. It thought it was doing something serious.
Yeah, that's how I justified the original series. It was camp. Well, blackface. Anyway.
Oh, that's the other thing. Speaking of blackface, and, you know, we talked about how went to Star Trek Las Vegas. The amount of people.
There were at least three people blacked up as Klingons.
Let me tell you now, publicly, right now. If I go to SCLV next year and I see that shit, I'm handing a wet wipe to every person. I don't have to say anything. I'm not going to say anything, actually. I'm just going to hand them a wet wipe and say, and just give them a meaningful look and walk away.
I mean, the funnier one would be a tub of boot polish and be like, you drop this, mate.
It's just, can I just say this to actually all the listeners? If you are wearing brown face or black face because it was in a show from the 1960s, you're fucking insane, okay? You're fucking insane and you're stupid, okay?
But also,
I'm sorry, but I mean, we need to say it harshly so you learn.
What is absolutely deranged, of course, is it wasn't like this was the norm. There were at least, so the number of people browned up as Klingons, there were at least double more as Klingons who weren't browned up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because they're
normal. It's just people need an excuse.
It's no longer the 1960s. You've got to let it go. We can view it contextually, but you bring it into 2023 and potentially 2024, you fucking twat.
Also, how are you washing that off, man? In those showers at the Rio, those aren't powerful enough to get that boot polish off in one go. No. You're in
and
that
really,
shower
that's
for
the thing,
an hour.
Though, it literally looked like shoe polish.
It was
the worst kind of offensive. It was like, wow, you went and did like the full minstrel show look.
I mean,
Brown Abraham Lincoln? Because that would have been worth it.
Brown Abraham Lincoln up for one scene.
One scene, he's like darker normal than I will ever be.
And then he's just back to normal. What was up with that?
I got it.
Generally, like, I was sitting at the Tranquility press stand with Hai and Annie, and this guy walks past, and we all genuinely just are like,
I'm sorry, I wish I was there. I would heckle.
It was, but it was like, it's one of those things, the first time you see it, you're kind of like taken aback. You're like,
Well, I've seen pictures of people do cosplay in blackface before, but I just assumed in a fucking like convention setting they might have more shame.
I mean, it's just like one of the things where you go, people still do this? Jesus.
Yeah, this is why you gotta fucking bully them, guys, honestly.
Yeah. No,
this.
It's true. True. Like, they should not think it's okay. But yes, so there you go. That's a reason to quit Star Trek.
Yeah.
Fans who think it's okay to do blackface.
Yeah, I just
my god.
That Star Trek didn't work on them.
Mm. Oh, yes, it's the people who go, Star Trek is woke now, and I'm like, have you ever actually watched a single fucking episode of this show? Like, even when it, you know, sometimes, a lot of the times it's missed a mark, but it's been trying to tell you something important and you've clearly just let it Gatwick right over your fucking head.
And like, sometimes it was not subtle.
No.
Like, I'm sorry, but with the shirt, like the half black, half white on different sides, it's like not even kind of subtle.
I mean, and that's
like, episode.
And that is aged terribly, but the you know, it's bad, but you know, even in the 60s, you know, the whole point of the show, you know, is guess what? It's going to be different in the future, people, and that's good. Get on board or get out.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are we with this fucking song bullshit, okay? With this Hamilton of the Star Trek universe.
Sorry, at least the Hamilton songs rhyme.
No. Well, I only got 20 minutes in Hamilton, but let's not get into that.
I've never seen Hamilton.
And you never should. You never should, Penny.
I've done one of the songs with choirs, and that, you know, great, fine, but that was enough for me.
I'll try not to start another fight. the way this episode ended, that we have to sing a song to save the day, it's cute. Let's all
positive. I like that.
Wholesome.
I like that they
John,
really lead into it.
Put your chin back up, John.
Yeah, John, you know, and I are pulling exactly the same expression right here.
I mean,
I'm gonna bulk paraphrase from Jesse's video about Strange World Season 2. About the main problem I have with that song is this: a song about how great Starfleet is, and this is basically about not having any individuality and personality, and your entire purpose being to be in Starfleet and to follow the path and to do exactly what you did and have your place in the machine.
And that's how all these bitches look to me, and that's why I love Mariner. So you're that's how they seem to me anyway.
No, this is the point, Olivia, is that this is meant to be an upbeat song, and it's just basically like, stay in your place, guys.
The people should keep their mind on their labor, okay? They should do.
Once again, Olivia,
famously capitalist Star Trek.
I was going to say, you're not convincing me that you're not in your Tory era.
That was
here,
my commie
Olivia.
Era.
No, Olivia, labor, that isn't communism.
That is literally the opposite of communism. Labor is entitled to all it creates.
People should keep their...
Unless the people are being entitled to all their labor creates, then it is not communist.
Yeah.
Whatever. I didn't know it was.
But I liked the concept that, like, of course you had to have a song where everyone sings to save the day, because it is. Here's the thing. It's like, and maybe it's because I am attributing to it something that it is. It was not, which is like, it knew it needed to just be dumb. And maybe they were making it, they weren't thinking that way. Maybe when they were making it, they were like, we're very serious about this. This is dead serious. In my head, I'm like, no, you have to go in and say, like, how can we just make it as dumb as possible?
Yeah.
And I feel like they've made several decisions that were that. And for that, I appreciate it.
They could have made the rest of them a little more incredulous. Like, they were too professional with it. If I came to work one day and I became a backing singer against my will, I would quit. As soon as that song ends, it's done. Because you're taking a piss now. You would kill me 15 times, but a backing singer?
You would basically umbenga your way out of that situation.
Yeah, like at least make me the star. Like, I'm just suddenly possessed. Jeez. Yeah, no.
I think it, perhaps if it had been campier for me, because I just genuinely feel it's one of the things I say all the time is never be afraid to make a fool out of yourself as a singer. Like, it's not a profession where you can really have a huge amount of personal vanity. I know it might seem like the opposite is true, but to really get a sound, the sound that you want, to let it out, at some point you kind of have to let go of some of that personal vanity to get everything working. And so I think, you know, never being afraid to make a fool out of yourself and getting comfortable with making a fool out of yourself. And I think if we'd maybe had a little bit more of that across the entire process, people going, I'm going to engage with this really camp, really over the top. We're going to do some really, really stupid things, and we're going to throw ourselves head first into this. We could have had something that would not have made me generate 1,000 meme react pictures in the space of 50 minutes.
Yeah, it's just... this episode could have been workshopped to be something interesting, and I think it wasn't because they worked the writers to the bone on it, and then there was a strike. Like, this is a symptom of why WGA and the actors are on strike, is that they were simply not allowed to work properly.
So the moral of the story is, support your writers, support your actors.
Support your musicians.
The fact is, most people do. No one supports the damn studios. No one supports the...
Yeah. Except Drew Barrymore, obviously.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's, you know, classic, pay your creatives, basically. Yeah.
Sorry, I mean, especially Bob Iger's salary.
You know, especially if you want the creative fields to be diverse industries, because, you know, if you're not willing to pay properly for these industries, they become the province of rich white people who can afford to do them, rather than being legit professions. So, pay your creators.
But yeah, are we going to trip dip this episode?
We've got to bring back the nips.
Yeah, so for the uninitiated, the trip nip is our measurement of cursedness based on the Enterprise episode Unexpected, in which Trip Tucker becomes pregnant and develops nipples on his wrists, which is famously a place one gets nipples. And we measure our cursedness from 0 to 10 based on trip nipples. Anyone want to start us off?
I need to consider the beauty of the episode firstly.
I mean, clearly I'm going straight in at a 10. I can never watch this episode again. I just can't. It's just
10.
John, do you have our spreadsheet of what that got like 10 in the past? Because that's
crazy.
Give
me a second.
I feel like we never even do a 10.
I think if
Penny's thing is saying, like, I could never watch this again, I mean, that's a 10, right? Like,
I just can't. It's
you can quit.
I quit.
Oh, you know what got 10? Angel 1.
Oh, okay.
Angel 1, A Night in Sick Bay.
A Night in Sick Bay got a 10?
Yeah.
I liked A Night in Sick Bay. I'm just the worst, apparently.
There was a teddy bear.
What the fuck, Patrick?
Patrick.
I liked Today in Sick Bay.
Nothing else on this sheet got a 10. The next highest is Favorite Son, Ex Post Fact. No, The Naked Now got 7.5 from the Hagman Brothers. Nice to meet them at Such Las Vegas. They were very nice.
Okay, fuck you, John. Mm-hmm. Continue. Sorry, can I just say now that everyone who met John... and I wasn't there, you're cancelled, and I'm listing you. Okay. Not everyone's going to know what that is.
You're listed.
I wasn't at STLV, and I didn't meet you there. So do I get on another list, Olivia?
No, you had to have met John at STLV. Except Jordan, because Jordan's my new favorite.
What about Aaron Wilkie?
No, Aaron, you can get listed.
We're suing him anyway until he gives us Aurelian Penguins.
But look, well, I know
apparently, Aaron, you were on Thin Ice, which, you know, I guess can't be worse than Roger Beltran.
Roger Beltran, oh, come on the pod, baby.
Come on the pod so I can be horrible to you for half an hour.
This Star Trek LV really was, there was a lot going on between the blackface and the Robert Beltran.
The blackface, Roger Beltran, the Terry Vitalis of it all.
Which is
I nearly killed John DeLancey. It was great.
Well, that'll happen. You were very close. You were right by his...
We've all nearly killed John DeLancey.
Yeah, like who among us?
I saw Bob Picardo in an elevator. It was just him and maybe his wife, his girlfriend, I don't know, his partner, and me. And at first I didn't recognize him because he was trying to not be recognized. He did a good job. He had like a big hat on. But he was bringing in like these bags of wine. And I was like, oh, you know how to do it. You know how to have fun.
Yes, Bob.
And then as I was getting off the elevator, I was like,
oh, my best part was watching... watching Tom Billingsley hand out pieces of melon while just constantly refilling his glass with spirits.
That'll happen.
Yeah, we've all... He's a good guy.
Everyone just gets drunk at STLV, which is what else are you going to do?
But yeah.
So 10 trip nips, I would give it 2 very well-placed nipples, maybe a third nipple. So they're where your nipples would go. But maybe a third nipple. Also, you know how some people have a third nipple kind of, but near the regular nipples? They're not on the wrists. They're not wrist nipples. But it's
the trick
nipples
are specifically wrist nipples. You can't factor in your normal nippers.
No. I would like to understand the physicality of these.
We have this conversation once every 10 episodes. We've had this conversation at least 5 times.
I think you should allow freedom for the nips.
It doesn't have any misplaced nipples.
So, Olivia, you're basically saying free the nipples.
I'm saying that John is apparently anti-free the nipple and anti-feminist for it.
I just need you to understand where the nipples are going.
That's all any of us want to know, John. Where are the nipples going, John? Where are the nipples going?
It's nipple HS2.
Open up.
No. That's one for the Brits.
We're going to stop the nipples.
Right. I give it 3 nips.
3 nipples. We got 10 from Penny, 3 from Patrick. Olivia?
I wish it was more nippable. Then I would have loved the episode and I wouldn't have quit. So I'm just going to give it 5.
I think I'm giving it 5. Unremarkable. Too. Actually, I'm going to give it...
He's crying. Tears are falling.
I'm going to give it 7.
Ooh.
Now, here's my question. Can you give half nips?
You can give half nips, but it will screw up my maths.
Now, if you gave a half, I'm not going to, but if you gave a half nip, is it that you only see half of the nipple, or is it that, like, there's only nipple and no areola?
Thank you for asking. Thank you for asking.
God, we're so fucking back.
So it is a nipple protruding half through the skin.
Oh, it's just...
It's on its way. Thank you for asking that.
How is this happening to me and I'm not in the group chat?
No, Penny, it's important though, because we want to do things right. So I'm actually about professionalism, and that's my thing.
that has famously always been Olivia's thing.
As we all know.
So 7, and if I gave how many? 3.
You gave 3.
And then 5. 5 and 10. So 13,
around about
20, 25 divided by 4 is 6¾.
Yeah.
Can we just
see? I will accept that as a group score and the part that I played in making it happen.
I was going to say, can we end this by getting our lighters out and just sort of taking a moment to appreciate the songs that we heard today? Well, you guys didn't even fucking rewatch the episode.
I will never rewatch this episode.
I'm a doctor, as you know. I didn't make that up. I really am a doctor. You can all determine what kind of doctor I am, but you can call me Dr. Patrick.
Look at you. You've done the academic effort to earn a title you deserve. What a
dude. I was not well researched. That said, I have, and Penny's going to hate me for this, I have listened, even though I haven't rewatched the episode recently, I do listen to the soundtrack sometimes.
That's worse. That's so much worse. That's like personal. Streaming into your mind of that poison. I'm sorry.
Don't do that. That's just bad.
I got too harsh. It's not poison. I'm so sorry. Strange New Worlds team.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, I really want to say, I know I've said it before, but saying, you know, this, I hope no one, if anyone from Strange New Worlds in any capacity, for some reason, you know, if is listening to this, please know that there's no hate here.
You know? And I'll just add to that, fuck her up. Go for her. She fucking came for you, and you're going to allow that?
If you're going to come here, Dare the Jackal style, we'll host you. You know, I'll give you cravats like Edward Fox. This is a very dated reference.
It comes from a place of love, and hire me next time. I don't know.
Hire Penny.
It's the freelance music life. I've always got to hustle. So
let Penny write a Star Trek musical.
Oh, no, I don't want to write one. I want to be a dubbing singer. I want to be like Marnie Nixon.
Penny dub a Star Trek musical.
I'd be really good.
You could dub Anson Mount. You'd be enjoying yourself more than he was. He was so miserable for this entire thing. It was so funny. Yeah.
And we've quit? Did we quit?
Is it going to make you quit Star Trek?
I quit. I mean,
I certainly couldn't watch the whole episode all the way through, which means, yeah.
I won't rewatch the episode, but I'm stronger than this. I could watch an Enix episode after this and live to tell the tale.
So what you're saying is that Voyager is good, actually.
And that's all we have for tonight. Thanks,
folks. Yeah, good night, everyone. I quit.
All right, we have two quitters.
I'm not quitting.
I'm not quitting.
I'm being serious. I have the power.
The only choice is the stalemate means we add 2 points to the cursed score.
Oh
no! I will not quit. I will stay by my buddy Patrick.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Patrick.
That's true. That's true.
I'm going to change your name to that in my phone.
Dr. Patrick.
I'm actually doing it.
This was our first Strange New Worlds episode as well.
It's not the worst Strange New Worlds episode. That's for sure.
It's not. We will be back to talk about worse ones in the future because.
Season 2 has some contenders.
I mean, I also hated Lotus Eaters. I really did not like several
episodes. Nothing happened in Lotus Eaters. I have a more interesting rare replacement bust, right?
No, here's the thing is that, but also, like, 17 things happened in it. That's me, Dr. Patrick.
You should 17 spell out properly,
things happened in Lotus Eaters. And none of it, it was just weird. It was just a weird, I just did not enjoy it. It was not enjoyable.
It was bad.
Is Lotus Eaters another one? And cut this out because this is getting bullshit now. Wait, is Lotus Eaters the third episode of a short track?
No, it's the Strange New Worlds episode.
Oh, what?
It's the one
nothing
where
happened.
This is why I cut it out. Don't let anyone hear that. Bye.
They go back to Rigel, you know, from the pilot of the cage, and they find the yeoman that, like, he was so upset had died. And then, just really destroy this yeoman's story, which is fine.
Wait,
but
this
not
episode
the way, like, there are too many things going on.
This episode has completely erased itself from my memory, which probably tells you how good it wasn't.
Oh, well, the episode is about erasing things from your memory, so, you know.
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
like,
it's that one. Shit, yeah, okay, there
it is.
Yeah,
the memory episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
it erased itself from my memory.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to it, and hopefully we'll get to it soon with lots of new guests. There's a couple of people who I either have messaged or going to message who are going to get on the next couple of weeks. If not, if you'd like to come on over, you can contact us at Quit Star Trek Pod on Twitter and other places. I think we have a blue sky.
We have a
blue sky or I haven't set it up yet, but I will have set it up by the time this podcast comes out. So we will also be on Blue Sky at Quit Star Trek Pod. You can email us at iquitstartrek@gmail.com. We have a Discord, which there is a link to somewhere.
We have a TikTok, which I don't use.
Well, that's on you.
I have an idea for a next TikTok. Don't you worry, John.
Don't you have a Patreon?
We have a Patreon. Oh. Yes, you can follow Spores on Patreon.
In this chat been giving you like $20 a month for nothing the past 6 months?
I like to thank everyone supporting us in these tough times and paying my bar bill. And for everyone who cancelled their Patreon in the last 6 months.
Valid.
Yeah, all right. I can't be mad at you. But for everyone else, we're going to put something up nice for you. I might make Olivia do some TikTok.
I'm going to watch The Fucking Visitor because Jonathan Van Zitters keeps bullying me every day.
You haven't seen it?
You know what?
Screw no, because I didn't want to be sad.
We're doing it for the Patreon. We're going to watch.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We'll do it for the Patreon. We'll get John a link.
What are you watching?
The Visitor. DS9. I never watched it. I didn't want to be sad.
I don't rewatch it because it makes me too sad.
Exactly. Yeah. I never watched it because I'm smart.
I haven't rewatched it in ages.
You know, I did a DS9 rewatch not that long ago, and it was one of those things where I kind of had to gear up because I knew I was going to go through all my feelings.
So let's just say this now on the record. It's Paramount's official position to make me sad because that's a J-Van.
That's a fact.
That's a J-Van.
I mean, I feel like that's their official position for Star Trek fans anyway, is to make us all sad. That's what they do.
So just to check, this is now an official commitment that you will be watching The Visitor.
We will
be doing a special episode with John Van Sitters.
I don't know if we can get J-Van on the pod, but...
I don't know if we can get him on.
It's his fault. It's happening.
We will call it the John Van Sitters episode. Maybe that'll be episode 100.
Oh my gosh. Wait, I have ideas, but yeah, continue.
Anyway, so yeah, please, you know, message us on social media. Message, you know, if you know how to contact me. Oh, Olivia, please. Well, don't bother Olivia. Bother me, because I'm a postgrad student, so I have too much time. And I need you to fill it with terrible singing.
Can the outro music be "Don't call it a comeback"? Huh?
No, the outro music is going to be "Viva Las Vegas."
God damn it!
Viva Las Vegas.
I hate Elvis.
Everyone hated Elvis, especially his own stomach. And on that note, I've been John.
I've been Olivia.
I've also been Olivia.
This is fucked up.
And I'm about to get a load of hatred on social media.
And until next time, folks, don't auto-tune Babs the Wallace Goon. He doesn't like it. Bye, guys.
The Pogs and Prosper.